Tonight we're going to have a bit of a hard one. We're going to do a series on tonight. It is the last of the main issues out of our life. It is forgiveness, offences and favour. And it's just equipping you to set you free so that there's no bitterness, no bitter waters left in you that will just hinder you. And what Jesus accomplished on his death and resurrection is that on the cross, God's power was released. And if we deal with the things that we've really dealt with, like the unbelief, you stop the power of the cross. You empty the power of the cross with your unbelief. And so we've gone through all that, and I just want you to know that tonight we're going to deal with fullness, sozo, completeness in your life. That Jesus did everything for us. We've got the wholeness of God in us, and our old self was crucified, and we were reconciled to each other, and the record of sin against us was cancelled. The enemy has been disarmed and defeated, and physical, spiritual, and emotional healing came, and that's what I've been dealing with. Physical, spiritual, and emotional healing. And how come that when some people live through such pain and hurt, they come out stronger and better? But other people come out with absolutely brokenness and woundedness. And there's a reason, because, you know, the devil plays with words. And the words is when he puts a word in a sentence. And the one word that he put in a sentence, and we all took it, as what the world says that is a must, is time heals all wounds. And that's a lie. Time does not heal all wounds. Heals some wounds. But you know what heals all wounds? Is forgiveness. That heals all wounds. And I want to work through a process of helping you go through the things that are holding you back of unforgiveness that is deep and quenched in your soul, that some of you don't even know that you're sitting with that unforgiveness. And that's what I'm going to deal with tonight. Even the leaders and the pastors, they get hurt. Amen. All right? And we can't act innocent that we've never hurt them. We have hurt them. All right? But what happens is we can't carry on going around in a circle like we like dogs biting each other all the time, round and round in a circle. You bite me, I bite you. You bite me, I bite you. It's got to come to a stop. Because you cannot go further in the kingdom without wholeness. You cannot. I tell you why. Because that pain and that bitterness that is buried deep in you, it will come out as a deep hurt one day when you don't expect it. And then you'll make yourself into a very lonely person because you'll start hiding away from the church, away from your friends, and away from the people because you don't even realize that in your heart you've got unforgiveness sitting there. And you start putting blame and bitterness in your life, but you're sitting with the unforgiveness. They're leading their life fine. They are having a good draw. They don't even know they've hurt you. But you camping in your bitterness. And I really seriously want to pray now for all of you. I want the Holy Spirit to show you right now a picture of a person or a sound of a name. Or even when you went into worship in the last couple of months, you've been into worship and you cannot concentrate because this keeps on coming up. Let it come up again tonight because that is a part that God wants to deal with tonight. He wants to make you completely whole. Holy Spirit, just dig deep in their hearts and just bring out the things that are hurting them, the things that are stopping them going into a deep, deep presence of you, Lord. And we just thank you, Holy, as you're just giving them a picture right now of the person that's hurt them in the church or out of the church. We just ask you, Holy Spirit, to bring that person's name right out now, a picture of their face. Or even as a child, let's just bring it out right now, that hurt. Some people are sitting at 55. They're sitting with hurts from their parents. Let's just release it right now. Let's just bring it out, and let's just deal with it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You know, in Romans chapter 12, it says, do not repay anyone for evil for evil. And you must read that whole chapter. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and read chapters to you. I think you can go home and read chapters. Read chapter 12. But I just believe you've got to acknowledge the offense. You've got to get in touch with your feelings, and you don't minimize or excuse the offense in your life or the unforgiveness in your life. You've got to acknowledge it. We always in our minds give a reason why we should not forgive anyone, to make ourselves feel better or cover our hurts. And in cases, it will always come out with deep hurts and unforgiveness cause bitterness and hatred. I see it in my family, not my family at home, my brothers and sisters. They're sitting with hurts. They don't even know why they hurt, but they claim that mom and dad did something 35 years ago, 55 years ago. I do not know. And they're sitting and they're bitter. And my one sister's so bitter that she's wrecked with diseases. And whenever you talk with to her, the hatred and the bitter comes out of her voice, and I can see it around her. And she's very, very ill with it. Guys, we must release this unforgiveness in our hearts, and we must release anything. And the devil's really good to say to you, don't forgive because of this reason. And I'm going to go through the reasons with you. I'm going to go through the lie that's been told in your life. I'm going to go through the truth. And I'm going to go, what do you do about it? One reason I do not want to forgive. The offense was too great and the pain is too deep. The truth, God is a big God. He can heal every single wound in your life. You've got to let him in. You've got to give yourself over to God. You've got to ask him to show a massive love over your life. You've got to work on learning to trust God in that issue. You've got to give it to him. You cannot deal with this hurt by just hiding it. You're not dealing with it. You're not acknowledging that offense. You've got to get it in. And you know what happens with your life? When you go into deep worship, God overcomes every bit of hurt in your life. He deals with everything in your life, any hurt or offense. Another lie, I should withhold forgiveness until they ask for forgiveness or they'll do it again. Forgiveness and reconciliation are not the same thing. Okay, let's have a look at the finished work of the cross. God forgave us long before we were even born. That's forgiveness. We are now reconciled with Christ. Two different things. Do not lump them together. You got to learn to release and transfer the hurts to God, because you're creating a prison in your heart. And you know what they say? Unforgiveness is allowing something to live rent-free in your heart. And revenge is a no-no. It doesn't work. You got to open that door and you've got to let that unforgiveness out. You've got to give it notice right now. You've got to say, this is it. Jesus, take over. You know why? Because that unforgiveness sitting in your heart is like a poison. And it drips and it drips and it drips and it drips. They're carrying on with life, as I told you, but you're sitting with fury, hate, anger, and it spiritually kills you. You cannot carry on with your life spiritually if you're sitting with some offense in your life. And it might be very small that's stopping you. It might be very huge. But you've got to deal with it. You've got to give it to Dad. You've got to give it to him. Oh, I don't want to forgive because I'll look and feel weak. You know? Women can do that too, not only men. But the desire to look strong and superior is absolute pride. And pride keeps you in bondage. Pride will destroy you. And pride will set you back. Eventually, you'll run out this door. And your outside appearance will be, oh, I'm cool. I'm happy. I'm fine. But you know what? You're hurt by what they said and what they did. Somebody in this church is bound to hurt you. I could have hurt you. I don't know. I'm carrying on with life. Cool. I'm living in the heavens. I could have offended you. I don't know. We've got to sort it out. We can't keep on going around biting each other all the time. You've got to change your mindset. You've got to give it to God once again. But you know what? Forgiveness is not weakness. It's the ultimate power in Christ. He taught me that it's a portal to power. The forgiven learn how to forgive. And we learn how to forgive because we are forgiven. I can't forgive because I'll act like a hypocrite because I do not feel the forgiveness in me. Actually, you are a hypocrite because if you don't forgive, because your real nature of a child of God is a forgiver like your father. I have my father's nature. So you should know your identity in Christ by now. But if you don't, we're going to set you free and at the furnace. You will know your identity very, very soon. I can't forgive because I'll never be able to forget. You know, you might not forget the wrong, but you can release the hurt. If you keep on replaying those hurtful events like a movie in your brain, it's going to make you very sick. And you're opening up doors that's not meant to be. You've got to trust God in your future. But you know what? Really, what you can do is you can ask somebody to pray for you and you can go back in their timeline of when they were hurt. So if you were hurt when you're 8 years old, we can go back into the timeline. We can ask the Holy Spirit to fill you, take that out, fill you with His presence of love and peace and joy, and God can remove that hurt from your mind that you don't even remember that incident that's happened to you. You can go back in your timeline. God is big, and the things that are happening in the world now are big. You cannot put God in a box. You cannot limit Him. It's time to stop. It's time to raise the ceiling. And time to know that God is coming to do mighty works in this place. The reason why I can't forgive is God has wronged me, and I need to forgive Him. You know, God wants you to be real with Him. You know, if you're having a hissy fit, have a hissy fit. Get over it. But He wants you to be real with Him. He doesn't want you to be false, because He actually knows your heart in any case. He made your heart. Okay? But you got to learn to focus not on what God has not done in your life, but on every single thing that He's doing in your life. Because if you can't appreciate the small things, how are you going to appreciate the big things that God has done in your life? And you know what? If you're going to sit in your own little pity party, I'm not joining your club, because I don't like pity party clubs. I don't go there. You'll find me ignoring you. And I'm sorry, but that's me. I will help you once, I will help you twice, but the third time is get over yourself. That is me. That is me being honest. I will call you, I'll work with you and everything. But if you want to sit in your own muck, you're going to play there by yourself. I don't go down there. Okay? We've got to believe in the truth of God. We've got to believe in the freedom of Christ. We've got to know that our minds must be transformed and renewed, so we can cope with people that are coming and are going to have a lot of baggage. We've got to help them unpack that baggage. We've got to help them release and give them the freedom that they deserve. They need to know that they're also free. They need to know that God has painted them wings. They need to know that they can fly. Are you all with me? Okay. It's a hard one. The truth is very, very powerful, but it will set you free. You know, if you go into a community that believes a lie, one person going in with the truth will set thousands free. And we're set to set tens and tens and tens of thousands of people free. So we need people that can stop believing this lie and walk in freedom. We need an invasion, a holy invasion of truth. They buckle under and let the light in your life. Another thing that we also tend to hold on to a church is a lie where friends will always let you down. And that word always is a lie. Friends will let you down. You know, I've let down people. I don't know about it, but I have. Okay? But I don't always let you down. You know? Leaders will let you down, but they don't always let you down. The enemy just put one word in there, as always. And you say, well, I'll come here, but I don't want any friends here because they'll always let me down. Or I'm not coming back again because they just keep on letting me over and over and over again, you know. God said, and His will must be done, God said we must forgive 70 times 7 a day. That's 490 times a day you must forgive that person. Well, that person comes, stands in front of you 490 times and offends you. That person's got a really big problem. I think you can bring them to us. Okay. If you want the glory of God over your life, over your family, over your work, you know what attracts the glory is unity. And if you feel that you can be a lone ranger out there, you know, you can be a lone ranger. God will let you just be a lone ranger. That's what you want to be. You know, Tonto riding around on his horse by himself. He'll look at you and say, well done, well done. But the full body in Christ is where you're going to have wholeness in your life. Okay? And unity attracts the glory. And you know what's part of that glory? It's an unoffended heart. Offense breaks the glory in your life. I have seen people walk out of here offended, and they used to just be so much in the glory, and I see them today, and there's just like, it's cold. They don't even know how to worship or get in the presence. They've just lost the whole aspect of God's glory. They've lost the fun of worship with God. I'm telling you guys, you can say what you like, that you, yes, you got the fullness, but the power of the Holy Spirit to manifest on you is a different story. Because if you've got a fence, he's not going to sit on you with that fence. I'm telling you, really, you can believe me and you don't have to, it's fine. But 4 years, I've been in the glory with God for 4 years, and I'm not going to take on a fence. Because I want to stay unified with God. And I love the glory of God. I love the presence of God. The greatest test for you is your unity is also at home. Okay? If there's strife and turmoil, anger, and somebody's got offended at home and you don't sort it out, then the presence actually departs. Have you ever been in somebody's home where you feel, woo-hoo-hoo, what is going on here? And you can walk and you say, woo, not nice. And how are you? But you feel, woo, not nice. Okay? It's because there's just such an offense sitting there. And with the offense, it's opened the doors. And with the doors opened, all the chochos come in. So we've got to get rid of this offense and we've got to forgive. You are planted in a local church. You are. This is a local church. Everybody's got Jesus in them. But they just don't look like it. Not everybody. And you say, well, where's Jesus? But they've got Jesus, but they don't look like it. But the greatest sign of your spiritual power is when you smile at them. When somebody comes to you and they attack you and they offend you, and you smile at them and you don't get offended. That is the greatest spiritual power God can give you. Because you've got to know that it actually wasn't really them. It's just an attack. I mean, I've been at Salt Rock with my family, and we went down at the bottom at the hotel. They had a big setup there where you can order lunch on the beach and the grass. I was standing in the queue with my family, and I was standing with my daughter, and my son and I were swimming. My husband was swimming, and her and I were standing in the queue getting the food. And from about over there where the wall is, this woman looked up, and she looked at me. And I looked and I saw her and she ran straight for me. I said, no, I don't know her. No, I don't know her. Why is she running towards me? Maybe so, nobody behind me. And she ran up to me and she said, I hate church. Now, I'm standing in the queue on the beach and she just ran up. She said, I hate church. You people that you think you must go to church. And she just slammed into me. And Aaron's like went and sat down and I just stood there and I'm, okay, okay. She said, and I've been to a Catholic church, and I've been to this church, and I hate church. I said, I'm just actually here to get food. She said, oh, but I'm telling you, I hate church. You people. I said, me? I said, I'm just getting food. And she carried on, and the whole thing turned into a circle, and I'm her and I standing, and I just took that offense of her. Like, why did I get food? You know, what is happening? And I just stood there, and then my husband started walking off the beach, like, what's going on? And I'm just, like, eerie staring. She said, oh, I need to get my wine. I said, that's a good idea. You go and get your wine. I was shaking. I sat down. I said, and I just realized afterwards, I realized that, you know, the demon saw that I was full of God. And that's the first person he ran to and said, he's going to attack me. But if I took offense, it would have spoiled my day with my family. Why must I take offense? Okay? She didn't know. She didn't know. And she kept on staring me out. It was very awkward. I left early. Very awkward. We want you to look and guard your heart at all times. I really want you to keep your heart guarded. And, you know, it's, don't let their behavior steal your glory. Forewarned is forearmed, and I'm forewarning you now. The things that we've gone through now, I've had to do the bit of a tough work. The next week is all from glory to glory to glory to glory. But forewarned is forearmed, and we've got to stop with this judgment. We've got to stop with this unbelief. We've got to stop hurting each other. We've got to stop with the lies. The gossip is worse than murder to God. We've got to stop it. And when you guard your heart and you just keep yourself in line with God's word, you won't have any bitter waters in your well. It'll just flow. And it'll just flow and flow and flow. All right, you're still with me? Okay. All right. Offended heart allows deception in your life. All right? And it gives you strongholds. I got this extract from a book, and actually it wasn't even a Christian book. If you hold on to offense, bitterness will corrupt your own spirit, it will defile your thinking, and it can even affect your health. Mental and physical disease comes when people allow strife of offense to fester in their hearts and imaginations to grow bigger in their minds. Some people harbor resentment until it becomes a monster controlling their lives. People have been imprisoned and on death row today because they allowed offense to grow into hatred that was translated into murder. I could just murder that person. Every day you say that, you might do it. What you say at your mouth can happen. So don't harbor this offense. Love does not keep account of any wrongs. You know, you've been told that with your husband. Love your husband. Do not keep account of his wrongs. Us women find it hard. We like to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Nah. But we've got to let go. They're just husbands. Jesus didn't keep account of your wrongs. He forgave you of everything. So just remove it from your, just cast those thoughts down. They're not of God. Offense will affect you in many ways, and you can pick up offenses differently. Somebody in the church can offend you. You know what? I walked past James, and you didn't say hello. You know what? It's a shocker. I'm not coming back here. You know why? James didn't say hello. James is like in his glory. He's in heaven. He's not going to worry about me walking past. He's got his eyes focused on Jesus. He didn't see you. Maybe he's fixing up something or doing that or doing that. Don't take offense or something silly like that. And people do. People do. You cancel the something. Michelle, you can't talk again. Fence running in. But some people are really just waiting for people to offend them. They're waiting. And we've got to be a company that is burning for God, and we're not waiting for people to offend us. You know, there are some great dangers of entertaining offenses in your heart, and I want to go through them. Are you not bored? No, okay. Offenses blind people to the truth. And they cannot tell the difference between right and wrong. And they're going off their own tangent. And even they blind them to the word of God. Because they're so offended that they cannot even see the word of God correctly. You got to watch this. But Jesus was rejected because they could not see that Jesus was the Messiah. Because they were offended. Offenses separate people. If you allow offense to come between you and somebody, you can cut yourself off from that person. But actually, God put that person in your life to enrich your life. So if I was offended with James and I cut myself off from him, God's actually put James in my life to enrich my life. Right? Do you understand that? But you've cut yourself off from that person. But God actually puts an uncut diamond with an uncut diamond to rub each other up so we can start glowing together. How are we going to shine? If you think you're walking in perfection, all right, we can't shine without each other. You can't say, I'm so perfect, which you are perfect. Believe me, I'm not talking about your spirit. Your spirit's perfect. I'm talking about your soul. We need to rub each other up sometimes to get the shine, to get the perfection together, to get our acts together. But if that person is taken out of your life, that color has gone from your life. There's millions and millions of different colors in heaven that you haven't even thought of or seen. Remember God said, you haven't seen or heard the things of heaven. There's millions of colors that you don't even know. And people are given those colors. And when you're not offended with that person, you receive their colors. You receive I'm going off the tangent. Okay, offenses will keep people from their divine calling. You know, people, including preachers and ministers, have walked away from ministry because they're offended by somebody in the church, or they're offended by a group, or they're offended by an individual. And I think I've offended a lot of individuals in this church. I really have. And I do know that. And I do know that some people have left because I offended them. But, you know, that's the devil playing a game with them, because it's taken them out of their ministry and their calling that they were here. Offenses can open the door to the devil. And, you know, I'm actually like a pastor. I've got my Bible. I've got a Bible. I read from the Bible. Do you see? Look, I do read. Hey, look at that. I actually read the Bible. James 3:14. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from the heaven is first of all pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. And that's what we're here to do. We are here to raise a harvest of righteousness among the people that don't know. So don't harbor bitterness, envy. Don't harbor any selfish ambition in your heart. Because, you know, if God's going to give you something, He's going to raise you up. Don't try and raise yourself up. It's not going to work. And if you try and raise yourself up, it's going to fall underneath you. Let God raise you up. And I know we like to get impatient and we like to get things done quickly and we like this, but God has a purpose and a plan for us, and it's to prosper us and not to harm us. So don't let strife enter the door. That's unnecessary. And if it does, if hurts do come your way, deal with it on one-on-one with the people. Don't call an offensive barrier, offensive team, and get a big gang of offensive people together. Because you're separating those people and you're hurting those people. So don't start getting an offensive club together. Because God has got a plan for them and a purpose for them, and you can be hurting them. Offenses can separate people from God Himself. Look at Matthew 18. Jesus is a rock of offense. People will either fall on that rock for salvation, or they'll stumble over it in offense. Jesus forgave you. You must forgive those. You must walk on a place of forgiveness. Some people become offended at the offense of others experiencing what they're experiencing. You like to get on their bandwagon. Don't assume the offense of other people. Most people have enough to deal with themselves. Someone hears about a person who is treated, mistreated, or not treated, and they say, I can't believe that happened. They had nothing to do with it, yet they take on the offense of others. If you look at Matthew 5, your role should be to help those who are offended, to set them free of their offense. Don't take on the offense. Don't get into a little camp. It's not going to work. You like to bring everybody in. Look what happened to me. Look what happened to me. Come into my camp. Come, let's form an army. It's not going to work because those people that you're bringing into your camp, okay, actually, eventually, you could be hurting them for a great destiny. You can't control the offenses that come against you, but you can control your response. Psalm 119, great peace have they which love your word, and nothing shall offend you. So what you got to do is, you actually got to build yourself up spiritually. It's spiritually build yourself up. How? By the word of God. You got to get strong and you got to get into the word of God. Get into worship. Let the word of God build you up. You know, I'm not going to be broken and bleeding and dying on this mat by somebody offended me, because Jesus has already done that for me. He broke himself. He bled himself. He died. I'm not going to do it again because I'm not going to offend Jesus. He's already done it. So I'm going to stand in my freedom. I'm going to receive my healing from Jesus. I'm going to rest on his shoulder, and I'm going to receive the peace from my Savior. No offense is going to make me broken or battered or bruised. I'm going to rely on God to heal me, and I'm going to deal with that offense with that person. You will be offended, but how you cope with it determines your lifestyle ahead of you. It really does. It determines your walk on all your offenses that you've received. Is your walk that you're going to do from now onwards, is you spiritually have to say, I've got to grab. I've got to grow. I've got to read the word. I've got to understand the word. I've got to listen to it. I can't just listen to it every 30 minutes a week. So let's go from bitterness. That's finished, isn't it? Okay? To blessings. Favor. We've done a forgiveness. We've done offense. Let's go into favor. The favor of God. If you have a look at Ephesians 1, how blessed is God and what a blessing he is. He is a father, a master, Jesus Christ, and takes us up to high places of blessings in him. Read it. Read Ephesians. But different people found favor with God in different ways. Abraham found favor with God, okay? But he had to leave everything, and he had to go into another land to receive his favor. Joseph found favor with God, but you know what? He went through a lot of attacks before he got to his end favor. That's spiritually strong. Joseph was incredibly spiritually strong. Mary found favor, but she had to go and tell her fiancé that she was pregnant, and they killed woman. And during those 30 years, she must have been abused and had a lot of offense against her, because they didn't even know that he was a son of God then either. So imagine the abuse that she had. Imagine the offense that she had that she never took on. She found favor. Don't doubt when things get hard, because you know what? When things get hard, that's where God shows his favor. You know, give me your favor. God, I want your favor. And next minute, something attacks you. What's going on here? He says, well, I'm going to turn this around so I can show my favor on you. But I don't want this. Yeah, but you want my favor. He doesn't give you that, but he turns it around because you wanted your favor. You know, really, I think you've all got a misconception of favor. I really think favor is I'm going to have this, like my daughter, 5-bedroom house with a jacuzzi on the top, the pool, the horses. My husband wants the boat. My son wants a whole office with lands of computer. They think that's favor. You know? I think the favor of God, I really think the favor of God is when he gives you something that you're going to use in the kingdom. It's not for your own desire and your own purpose and set me up, buddy. Ding dong, here comes the sevens again. Favor, favor, favor. You know, struggling in the natural does not mean that you're not favored with God. You know, if you're going through a very hard financial time, you know, don't put what the world puts on you. Don't let them. You take people's success as favor. I don't. You know, favor of God is God's riches in the kingdom, his supernatural wealth of wisdom, Jesus grew in stature and wisdom with the favor of God. That to me is favor. You know, there's so much to learn. It's like when you see somebody like preaching. I mean, I saw James preaching one Sunday and I said, no, I'm never going to stand up here. He has got so much in him. I'm telling you, I'm going to look like this small. He's going to listen to me. I'm never going to stand up here. I've seen so much of his, but so much favor on his life. I've seen greatness in James's life. I've seen favor that God has just given him revelation and revelation and revelation. I said, I'm never going to stand up there. Because, I want to back out now. I really wanted to back. I wanted to run out. I said, James, you know, I think I'm going to bolt. You know, I better not say that. It's just that God gives everybody favor different ways. You know, I'm never going to be a James or a Peter. I'm never going to be a man, but I'm never going to be a Fran or a Shirley. I'm never going to receive their favor, but God gives you favors in different ways. No matter what your circumstances are, God will give you favor. But you've got to start with the gratefulness and the thankfulness with a small favor. Do you wake up with a favored heart? Do you say, thank you, God, I'm actually awake. Thank you, God, I've got a roof over my head. Thank you, God, I've got water, I've got lights, I've got electricity. And you know what, Lord, you've given me breakfast this morning. That is a favored person, today's climate. Favor is God doing for you what you can't do for yourself. He's just going to pour the favor in. He said, God, I'm in a position now. I can't handle this anymore. I can't do it. And he said, oh, thank goodness. I can get off my sun chair in Hawaii and I can come help Michelle. She's let go. You know? He's just dying to help you. He's tired of sunning in Hawaii. He's tired of swimming in the Bahamas by himself. He wants to come and give you favor. Favor is a relationship with God with confidence that no matter what you're going through, you're going to come out on top. And I'm not talking about this with a light heart. Favor is working in my life. That's how God is working in my life for good. Favor can be any situation. Don't box God in. It could be the favor is, gee, I'm on a diet. And the next 2 weeks you forget about it, but you've lost weight. That's favor. Be grateful, girls. Be grateful. Favor is Joshua Bull comes and says, you are size 8, and you're standing there, your pants fall down. Don't worry about it. It's favor, girls. It's favor. Just bring those elastic pants. Favor is God turning a situation around and blessing you abundantly. You know, it's not arrogant to say that I'm favored. It's boasting in Christ. It's realizing that you're already blessed when you don't have something but find favor in the small things of life. God will bless you with the big things as well. But you know what? I want you to go away for a week and find favor in the tiniest things in your life. Not the big things. Let's start with the small things. Let's find favor with the small things. And you know what? If we carry on doing that week for week, this is going to be a company of favor in this house. If we start with the small, we start with the grateful, and we start being wise over our lives. Your favor can not only flow out of you, but around everybody else. So your favor can bless all the others around you. That you're sitting next to somebody, the favor of God can bless you. The favor of God is a guarantee of his presence and the provision of his power to accomplish a special purpose in and through our lives. I have confidence that God is with me and for me to accomplish everything I have to do and seize every opportunity and overcome every opposition in my life, as I know I have favor and I know Jesus is fighting for me. I'm going through a very, very hard time, but I know Jesus is fighting for me. You're going through a very, very hard time, but Jesus is fighting for you. He is going to show his favor over your lives. God wants you to, he wants to be good to you. He wants to favor you. Favor is not fair. Don't say, fair, because you can't go down that road. You cannot start saying the fairness, because none of us will get favor then. Okay? All right? Favor is something special from God. It's really something special. And it could be a touch in your life. It could be he's just giving you a picture so you can help somebody so they've received favor. Count that as favor. You have changed somebody's life. It's favor. Yeah, you're going down and you sing something and I was listening to this. Wow, look, it's all over your life. You are this and you are this. And she's standing there. You know that she wanted to commit suicide. You have saved her. That's favor with God. That is, to me, that's amazing to see somebody that is sitting without hope and the favor of God comes and gives you a picture of how their life is going to turn around. And you've told them, and suddenly they've got life in their eyes. That is favor of God. Healing is favor of God. Just because you receive God's favor in your life does not mean that the trials and tribulations are going to stop. It does say in the Bible that trials and tribulations are coming. But God needs to show his favor in your life. So when you go through something, and you go through a circumstance, you go through a trial, other people can see God's hand on your life when you're going through something and his favor comes through. When you're going through something, you live in the world, you're going through a trial, the way they cope with it is completely different to the way you cope with it. And the way you cope with it with peace. And you can still love one another. And you can still worship. And you can still have joy. And that is favor. That is God's favor. You know, just because the circumstances isn't sorted out then and there, it doesn't mean you're not favored. It's how you're handling it is your favor. God wants to show his presence over you, in you, and around you to the world. He wants to show his glory to the nations. It's not all about you. Some people are just sitting here and saying, my favor is my casino. God is my casino. It's toughies. He's not. You can't manipulate God in any way. So sorry for you. Okay? I never went down that road, and I don't think I'm going to try because he really gave me a word about that. God wants to shine for the nations. How's he going to shine for the nations? When you're all going through trials and tribulations, and you're all going through things, but your outcome is where God is shining. The overcoming of that trial. And you know what? It makes you stronger. And when you go to the next one, you say, this is the same old. I mean, this rain is the same old story. It's just like, as Fran said, it's, what did you say? He said, the devil woke up late and said, oh, it's Thursday, Michelle's preaching. I better bring a hail quickly, quickly, so nobody gets here. You know? So, you know, it's just like the same old, same old, same old story. But we'll go through it, and this place will rock. No matter you feel that there's only so many people, the favor of God is in this place. And other people are going to see it, they're going to hear about it, and they're going to come in, and they're going to want that favor. Favor is more precious than any material, worldly thing in your life. I don't care if you have a 5-story house with a jacuzzi and horses. My daughter might at the moment. She's young. I don't. What's precious to me is God's favor in my life. That I know his presence is around me. I know he's with me. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. I know he loves me. I know my identity in Christ. I know the glory of God. I know the favor of God is on my life. And the favor of God is on your life as well. The favor finder in every situation in your life is a byproduct of the grace of God. So I believe that you should position yourself to receive the favor of God. But how? The favor of God, what do you do to position yourself to receive the favor confuses a lot of people. But the favor of God, I believe you've got to be a people who are expectant. Be expectant at all times. It's a breeding ground of miracles. Believe you me, I was expecting a miracle. One day I had a friend who came with me and we were expecting a miracle. Myself, my husband, and my friend at the back, we're expecting a miracle, and I'm not going into that story now, and I got a miracle. That is a favor of God. Be expectant. At all time, when you're standing by yourself, alone in a room that is stinky and horrible, when you're standing there, but being expectant of the favor of God will come through. At all times, be expectant. When you come into his presence, expect greatness. Do not limit God at any time. God told me to open up a cell, and it was called a no-limit cell. And when I first opened up, I thought, I must get into this no limits. What does it mean? And he says, you're not ever going to put a limit on me. The ceiling is opened. You'll never, ever put a limit on me. Each day you wake up, start with a spirit of expectancy. Favor reinstates expectancy in the daily living of life. Success, blessing, joy, and the purpose in your life is expecting God's goodness of your life. You speak the words of God, of the Bible, in your life, of expectant joy and favor in God. And you'll see that His favor will come to you when you least expect it. But be always expectant. It takes the dread of the day. You don't wake up and say, oh, it's Monday. And when I see that on Facebook, oh, it's Monday. I said, oh, you didn't wake up expectant, did you? Yeah. I think you should get a new attitude. I think you should deal with life, but always be expectant. You deal with your circumstances, deal with the things that are hurting you, but always be expectant of God's favor. You got to recognize the favor. Open your eyes to opportunity and expect the extraordinary every time. Every time, God is going to be amazing. God is going to be wonderful. God is going to be there. He is going to be so great. It's going to blow the people's minds. Okay? It's possible for greatness to be standing right in front of you. Shoop, there you go. That's Sunday morning worship. Sorry, I just said that. But some people just stand there. And the Holy Spirit is going, and then, what's for lunch? Okay. It's only because we haven't matured enough. Forgive me. It's just because we haven't matured enough. You haven't matured to see the greatness of God coming past you, in you, through you, around you. And, you know, it's just setting back your life. But the greatness of God is recognize it. At all times, recognize it. Because it can go right by. I mean, imagine how many favors we've missed by being spiritually dead. We live in a fog. It's a spiritual haze. You know? Oh, only that person's favored. I'll never get favored. Okay, you said that, so I won't favor you. And what are you waiting for, a favor? Yes! Come, the angels, come, pull in. They're waiting for a favor. And the angels are excited about you. Okay? Respond to it. Respond to the greatness of God in your life with absolute worship. You can position yourself for favor. Your obedience sets you in line for the favor of God. And God tries to bless us. And sometimes we miss it because we've got our eyes in the fog and we're just running around. And God's saying, yo, Michelle, look this way. Oh, I've got to do this. Oh, this way, the favor's here. Open your eyes to the favor of God. Be expectant. Wait for the extraordinary things to happen. Change your lifestyle. Change your attitude. Change your mindset. It's all back to the beginning as metanoia. This all leads to the final. As tonight is from metanoia. Change your mindset to be expectant on the favor of God. Your intention to receive needs to match your intention to give. Needs to match His attention to give. You've got to live in a place of habitation and not visitation. Because when you're in a place of habitation, you're always obedient. And when you're obedient to God speaking to you, you can always hear Him. You're always alert that He's around. You always know His presence. He whispers. He shouts. He does different things. But when you're always obedient and you're living in that place of obedience, when you're stepping out in obedience, the favor of God comes in. You see, it's very easy to sit at home and God gives you a nudge and says, I need you to get to the hospital. There's somebody there that needs a prayer. Oh, you must be mad. I'm too comfortable and I think it's going to rain. Hey, I've got to feed the kids. Oh, I've got to do the dog. Oh, no, I don't think so. You put your blanket over your head and say good night. Well, how do you expect the favor of God? Because as you're getting there, you're doing this, somebody could be coming up to you that you actually will change your life, could be standing at that hospital that you even didn't even know about it. As you're walking in to pray for that person, suddenly come up and you say, how's it, Peter? You know what? I've lost your number. But you know what? I've got a million-rand contract. Would you like to go ahead and do it? Come on, guys. God works like that. You've got to start waking up to obedience. You can't just sit in your house and say, give me the favor. We should make a song for you guys. Yeah? Ring, ring, 777, money, 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 honey, honey, honey. God's not going to do that. He's going to say, come on, just go there. And you're going to go there. And you're going to meet somebody who's going to change your life. You might meet your Boaz. You never know. All you girls waiting there for your Boazes. So what I'm just trying to say, it's favor is up to you being obedient, you stepping out, you listening to God, living in a place of habitation. Stop living in a place of unbelief. God will never do it for me. You know, what you say of your life will happen. Really, it will happen. And sometimes, you know, when I walk up to a person and they've offended me, and I want to sort this out. If you go up to the person with the goodness of God over you, just overflowing with absolute love, and you walk into their atmosphere, they will pour out their forgiveness over you. They will say, you know what, I'm so sorry I did that. I'm so sorry I did that. And you say, look, let's forget about it. Because, you know, I've stood with people and I've walked in front of people and I started chatting. They said, you know what, I've got to tell you, I'm so sorry. You know, I did this major thing and I'm just so sorry about it. And I'm like, I wasn't going to go down there, but okay, let's forget about it. You know, your goodness overflowing changes the atmosphere around you, changes the atmosphere. That person is offended, you're offended. Walk in with overflowing goodness, with overflowing forgiveness, and you will sort it out. You will sort it out. Just go and you've offended somebody, just go and just buy them a flower and say, look, not you guys, I don't know, whatever. But just go and say, how's it, buddy? You know, let me just take you out for a snack. I just want to sort this out. Because you know what? That is your destiny with that person. God has set you up with those people. And he's put them in your life for a season or a long time. And that person can change your life for the better. And you can receive a lot from them. I've received a lot from the people who have come into the cell. And I'm sure they received something from me. But I've got favor from them with God. So thank you.
Just had a picture while Michelle was ministering of a guy sitting in his couch. And he was unwrapping this like ball, you know, like a giant sweet, you know those sweets that are wrapped on either side, you know, and he was unwrapping the sweet and he was peeling off the layer and it was another color of wrapping paper and he took the next layer and it was getting more and more exciting until eventually he opened up and it was this beautiful chocolate Easter egg. And I just had this sense that a lot of what Michelle has been sharing in this course, Oaks of Wine, has been layer upon layer upon layer getting to deep revelation. And a lot of you are listening to this stuff and some of you are just sitting there going, okay, where's the furnace? Where's the glory? Come on. You know, Michelle stands there and she's like having a full-on encounter every week and now, you know, like it's just sitting here like a lecture. What is this? I just had the sense that some of you just sitting there, what is actually happening? And the Lord said to me that What is happening, there is a drilling taking place in going down through your minds, to your souls, through to your spirits. And you're going to go back tomorrow to work, you're going to go to the next day, the weekend, and you're going to find yourself thinking about what has been said in this place. And you're going to go to the next level of revelation. And you're going to unpack and unearth revelation which has been drilled deep into the depths of your spirit through this Oaks of Wine series. And so why don't you just raise your hands right now just to receive. Even if you zoned out, there were times where you maybe zoned out tonight, just had the sense that there was definitely a spirit of distraction in this place while Michelle was speaking, because Peter just leaned over to me and he said, the devil's not happy right now. Because of what Michelle's saying. That stuff on offense, that stuff on unforgiveness, the devil was very unhappy with that. And I just sensed that there were some people that zoned out, and that's okay. And I'm just going to release over you an ability to call back what was spoken tonight over the next few days, even if you zoned out when you were listening to it, because you know what? Your spirit heard it. And so right now, Holy Spirit, I release over every person in this place a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Thank you, Holy Spirit, you're in this place. This is a whirlpool of your glory, Lord. And Lord, you are releasing over these people a whirlpool of wisdom and revelation to unpack the revelation that they may walk in the favor that you've called them to walk in. God, these people, there are people here that have been called to walk in favor. We are all called to walk in favor. And Father, we can only do that when we get revelation upon revelation, moving from glory to glory, that we may stand up, we may walk, we may be obedient when you call us, Father. Rain, right now, just come up. I want you to share your testimony. This is a testimony of obedience, which is what Michelle's talking about. Some of you get dreams, and you just get a dream, and you're like, oh, what a great dream. What is the Lord saying to you? Listen to this testimony. And in the meantime, can I ask the team to come up, the worship team to come up?
Okay, so a few weeks ago, God gave me a dream, and in this dream, I was driving to the church, and I looked out my window and there was a guy with like this really nice little stand with different levels, oranges and healthy fruits. And in my dream, I immediately knew that God had directed me to pray for him and bless him physically with whatever I could. And about 2 weeks after that, I was driving to church and I saw this guy in the same place that I did in my dream, except he had just a little table with a few things on top. So I was just like, I knew straight in my spirit that was the guy, and I knew what God wanted me to do. So today I went, bought a whole bunch of oranges, I made him a nice little like sales paper thing, and I gave him a whole bunch of stuff. We went over and I went to go speak to him, and he told me that every day for the past few years he's got on his knees every morning and he's been just thanking God for what he has and thanking God that he will bless him. And it was just like, just for me, the lesson of humility that I got taught, and just, I mean, there's so many people who are desperately crying out for God, but it's the ones like us who can are in His presence, who can hear Him directing us. It's up to us to fulfill, like almost bring God into their lives, and yeah, I mean, as much as it could have changed his life, it's to the same to me. So it's awesome.